Today, representatives from Facebook and Google are testifying before the House Judiciary Committee about the role social media plays in extremism and terrorist attacks, like the one in Christchurch, New Zealand last month, which was live streamed by the shooter and quickly spread across the internet. Lawmakers want to know how social media platforms are going to regulate the spread of extremism on their platforms. Here's Neil Potts, who oversees Facebook's content policy team.
There is no place for terrorism or hate on Facebook. We remove any content that incites violence, bullies, harasses, or threatens others. And that's why we've had longstanding policies against terrorism and hate, and why we've invested so heavily in safety and security in the past few years.
For more, let's go to our weekly guide to the world of tech, Recode. Shireen Ghaffari is a reporter at Recode and joins us from New York. Hi, Shireen.
Hi there.
So have Google or Facebook made any changes since the massacre in New Zealand, or what are they telling lawmakers today?
Yeah, I mean, Facebook, for example, has made some changes shortly after the shooting. They said they would expand their definition of harmful content to include white nationalist content, not just white supremacist content. And generally, I mean, both these companies have said for a while now that they are increasingly trying to patrol hateful and harmful speech on their platforms. But as we can see with that definition, sometimes the details can get tricky.
Well, and there's a tricky balance to strike there between stopping the spread of extremist content while at the same time allowing users to express themselves freely.
Right. And it's also hard to anticipate what kind of content is going to go up. And so once something is up there, even if the company does determine that it violates their content moderation policies, it's very difficult for them to be able to control it in a short period of time.
Well, and you have to think that in a situation like the shooter in New Zealand, you would actually – that was live streamed. You would have to have somebody that saw that as it was happening to determine that that – needs to come down immediately as it's happening. So that's a difficult thing to do. That requires an actual human being, probably.
Yeah, exactly. And both of those companies have, dedicated teams of human moderators toward policing this content. However, they have been criticized by many for that not being enough.
Meanwhile, this week marks 1 year since the CEO of Facebook, Mark Zuckerberg, testified before Congress, where he said he believed regulation was inevitable after it was discovered that users' personal data were exposed. Here he is last year answering a question from Democratic Senator Maggie Hassan of New Hampshire.
Will you commit to working with Congress to develop ways of protecting constituent privacy and well-being, even if it means that that results in some laws that will require you to adjust your business model?
Senator, yes, we will commit to that. I think that that's an important conversation to have. Our position is not that regulation is bad. I think the internet is so important in people's lives, and it's getting more important.
Yep.
The expectations on internet companies and technology companies overall are growing. And I think the real question is, what is the right framework for this, not should there be one?
So, Shireen, has Zuckerberg made good on his commitment to create the right framework for improving privacy in the last year?
Well, he certainly proposed frameworks. I mean, he published an op-ed in the Washington Post recently, giving some loose guidelines around what he calls for in terms of international standards, not just for his company, but for other media and content companies. However, he's been criticized for not already enforcing those standards within his own company. I mean, just as recently as a couple of weeks ago, the company had another privacy scandal where it was revealed that hundreds of millions of user accounts, private information, was left vulnerable on unprotected servers. So I think a lot of people are asking if the company can sort of walk the walk as well as talk the talk.
Some countries are going much further than the U.S. Last week, Australia passed a new law to put big tech execs behind bars if platforms fail to remove abhorrent content quickly. And this week, the UK proposed the establishment of an independent watchdog to flag terror-related content and impose fines for executives who fail to remove it within an hour. Basically, go after the executives. Maybe then they will listen. Do you think the US is going to follow suit, or what impact do you think these policies will have?
Well, I think it's too early to say if the U.S. would follow suit. And even the U.K. proposal, it could be derailed by Brexit. And the proposal is very preliminary. However, what I think it does represent is a big shift, if you look back from a few years ago, in terms of how Western governments are thinking about regulating these companies. And I think that you're seeing an escalation in the seriousness of the kinds of regulations that they're proposing.
You know, last week I put a poll up on Twitter and asked people if one out of four Silicon Valley giants had to remain and the rest would go out of business, which would you want to stick around? Apple, Google, Facebook, or Twitter? Not a single person voted for Facebook, which was interesting. That is Shireen Ghaffari at Recode. Thank you so much.
Thank you.